A reading from the Gospel of John. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yesterday we were at dinner at a friend's place, and one of the girls, you know you are, asked me, are you not nervous to speak in front of all the people? And I said, I'm not usually nervous just to speak anything, but I am nervous when I have to bring God's word, because we have the experts sitting over here. So I pray that my words will reflect God's word, and that whatever I say is from God, and that it will sink into your hearts, and God can work on it. So before we go in, we have heard the scripture being read, and that's one part of chapter 14. But I think just like when we go back to a book that we were reading, and you know we pick it up from the last place that we stopped, we kind of forget what happened before, and we kind of look back and see, okay, what was the end of the chapter, or you know what happened before that? And I think the word is something like that. If you just take it from where we read and try to make sense of it, we might miss some important details. So let's go back and look what is happening just before this passage that we have read. So this is the night before Jesus dies. And he knows it, but the disciples haven't fully grasped this yet. He has washed their feet. He has broke bread with them. And Judas has silently slipped out into the dark. And Jesus, knowing all of this, turns to the men he loves and speaks these words. If you love me, keep my commands. Now, this is not a small detail. He speaks about love on this night, and he's about to demonstrate it to the full extent. Now, at the beginning of this chapter, before what we read, it sets the entire scene. So that's John 13, verse 1. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. To the end. Now, the Greek word for this is, I might be pronouncing it wrong, so wave your Greek students, don't judge me. Aistelos. It's not just to the end, it's to the uttermost, to the fullest possible measure. And he gives everything. So when he says, if you love me, he's saying it as someone who has already decided to love us in spite, completely, unconditionally, before even we respond to that. That decision is already made. He loves us. Now, just to look at two different kinds of love. Imagine that there are two parents for a child. There's parent A, parent B. And you have parent A who says, I love you if you get good grades. I'll hug you if you behave. I'll be proud of you if you win that winning goal, or if you score that winning goal. Now, this love has a price tag. It's get, and get. The child must earn it. The child must perform for it. The child must maintain it. And I think deep down, the child may wonder, am I enough? What if I fail? Now, on the other side, you have parent B, who says, I love you. Full stop. And because I love you, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to put boundaries not to cage you, but to protect you. And this love gives, gives, and forgives, and gives more. It flows outward, and it doesn't keep a score. And it doesn't leave when things get hard. Jesus is that parent to be. Now, the world that we live in runs on conditional love. There are conditions. You know, if you make me happy, if you don't, you know, ask me to do these things, if you don't nag me, I'll love you. There are conditions. But Jesus runs on unconditional love. And this is that radical thing about the gospel. He loved us first, says in 1 John 4:19. He didn't wait for our obedience before he offered himself. And he gave himself, all of himself to us on that cross while we were yet sinners. Does anybody know where that verse is from? Which book? Ooh, all the Bible school people. Romans 5:8. While we were at our worst, most broken, most undeserving, and he gave it up all for us. So what does "if you love me" mean? Now, this is where people sometimes stumble and make assumptions. Is Jesus saying, I love you if you obey? I don't think so. That "if" is not a condition for Jesus to love us or for him to show his love toward us. He has already established us. He loves us. But that "if" is a sign of our love toward him. And obedience is that sign. Now, Mark had said listening. Listening is that sign. Now, Jesus isn't saying, earn my love by obeying. He's saying, show me your love by listening. If you genuinely love me, it will show. Not perfectly, but it'll show. Now, Jesus' love is never ending. Now, look what he promises in the section that we read. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Spirit of Truth, to be with you forever. Forever. Not as long as you're doing well, or not until we mess up. Forever. Here's another Greek word. Another. Allos. Meaning another of the same kind. So this person, the spirit who's coming to help us, the advocate, is not a replacement. It's not something that is lesser. It is the very presence of Jesus. It's the same love, the same power, the same closeness, now dwelling within us. And later on he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I remember when I was in university and when my grandmother passed away, my grandfather had passed away many years earlier, my aunt said, oh, I'm an orphan now. And I thought, will I be an orphan when my parents pass away? And I realized, but she has three brothers. She has a family, she has children. Are you still an orphan? Now, an orphan is somebody who has been abandoned, who doesn't have a home, who doesn't have any belongings, who doesn't have anybody. Now, Jesus looks at his disciples and says, that is not going to be your story. You are not orphans. You are loved, held, and accompanied forever, always. Love never abandons. Love never walks away. Love always stays. Now, Jesus' love always receives, embraces, and accepts. Now, notice that night, who all are there in that room. There's Peter, who will deny Jesus before the sun rises. There's Thomas, who's going to doubt the resurrection. And there are the disciples who scatters away when Jesus is arrested. Jesus knew all of this, and yet he loved them. He still looked around that table and said it, "I love you. I am going to give you my spirit. I'm going to show myself to you." Now, love does not wait for people to become worthy before it reaches towards them. Now, here is something for the younger kids, if you haven't nodded off yet. Now, imagine if you had a friend who only played with you if you had a cool toy or if you had the latest PS something. And they were just with you and friends with you because you had that. And if you didn't have that, they would just go away. Is that real friendship? But if you have a friend who just likes being with you, that is closer to what Jesus is like. He's not interested in what you can offer. He's interested in you. Now, adults, how many of us carry that secret belief that God's love is conditional based on our performance? That if we pray enough, sin less, serve more, that he'll really love us. I struggle with that sometimes, even though I know his love is unconditional. But that the cross demolishes all of this belief. He didn't wait for us to get it together. We're never going to get it together. He came for us in our mess. Now we know how God's love looks like. How do we show him our love? So Jesus said, keep my commands. But what does that look like practically? I have 4 points for you. And actually, when Hans asked that question, many of you answered part of it. And then I thought, I can just sit here. It's done. So you guys know it. We all know it, but it's hard to do it. Listen to him. You can't keep commands of someone if we're not going to listen. This means dwelling in the scripture, in the word, spending time in the word. It's not something like, I've done this morning, I've had my quiet time, check. But it's a conversation to have with someone who loves us. And is asking, what are you trying to say to me today, God, through your word? Now imagine you had a friend who texted you every morning a special, it's not a forward or anything, but it's a special message for you every day, an encouragement specifically for us in our situation, a word of wisdom, an encouragement for the fears that we're facing, some guidance for the decisions that we are making. Are we going to ignore that text? Now the Bible is somewhat like that. It's a poor example, but just to have that sense of understanding. It's that love letter from him to us, who knows us completely and still loves us anyway. Number 2, obey in the small things. Now love shows in the ordinary. He's not expecting us to go do big dramatic things and big mission works and miracles and healing. There are people God has asked for that. That's a different story. But just in the regular rhythms of our life, forgiving the person that irritated you this morning, having that conversation that we've been trying to avoid, being generous when it costs us something. Number 3, let love flow outward. We receive God's love unconditionally, and we become channels of that. And that love doesn't just stop with us. It's meant to flow out from us to others around us. It's not something that we just keep and hide underneath. It needs to be spread out to others around us, including the people that's difficult to love, that's hard to love, especially them. Number 4, come back when you fall. Love doesn't mean that there's perfect performance, that we have it all together, that we are walking along with him faithfully and regularly without our own deviations or falling into a ditch. Jesus still met his disciples after he resurrected. He met them at the beach with a full cooked breakfast, invited them, ate with them, and restored them. So when you fall, don't run away from Jesus, but run to him. That itself is an act of love, knowing that, and knowing and trusting that his love is there waiting for us, and his love is greater than our failures. So before I close, a reminder to all of us. Kids, Jesus loves you like that very best friend you could ever have. And he's always there, even when no one else might be. I hope we have some teenagers here. All right, teenagers. You don't have to perform for his love. You don't have to get everything, have all the answers. Have that feeling in you to be ready to receive his love. He sees you fully, and he loves you fully, right now and forever. And adults, the love of God isn't something you earn in quiet times or you lose in a weak moment. It is constant as the ground is beneath our feet. Obedience isn't how you get it, but it is how you respond to it. So before I close, he loved his disciples until the very end, to the uttermost. He washed their dirty feet, he sat with the doubters, and he made room for those who betrayed him. That is the God that we are dealing with. Not a God who loves you when you're performing to the best. Not a God who checks the things you do before thinking of, should I give him my love? Or not when he feels like it. A God who says, from the verse that we read, before you could keep a single command, I went to the cross. Now, because I love you, and because you love me, let us walk in that together. Love him, listen to him, and let it show. Now, we're going to listen to a testimony from Catherine. So, kids, listen. There's something in it for you as well.
Hello, everyone. So for those of you I haven't met already, I'm Catherine. And actually, a few years ago, I shared my testimony with the Alpha Group. So you guys have heard this before, but for those of you who haven't, I will start. So growing up, we were not an overtly religious family, but we would go to church for special events like Easter and New Year's Eve watch night service. So I hadn't really come to a full understanding of the Christian faith yet. It wasn't actually until many years later, during the pandemic in 2020, when we were all really, struggling and going through it, being under lockdown, that I started to look through Bible plans on the Bible app, and I slowly but surely came to the realization that the Christian faith is about pursuing a relationship with Jesus and his great unconditional love for all of us. So there was one instance when I was following this online ministry from the Bible app. It was like a husband and wife team who would do a deeper dive on the biblical text in the form of a podcast. So the wife would be kind of acting as if she's the Holy Spirit and speaking to you with so much love. And the husband would be like doing more of the theory, doing a deeper dive into the biblical text. So this particular podcast was titled, Watch Your Loving Father Celebrate Over You. And in the podcast, they said, okay, so just picture heaven on the day of your birth with, it was just such a beautiful image, but with God dancing and the angels dancing. And it was such beautiful imagery that, yeah, it was so touching to me and made me quite emotional. And after that, it was already a beautiful enough experience, but after that, I could feel this sense of love fill my room, which could only be, yeah, the love of God, because, so I'm actually quite close to my parents, particularly close to my mother, and I know, like, you know, they always say that a mother's love is kind of incomparable to anything. So it was like getting to experience my mother's love, but times infinity. So I knew for sure that it could only be God that this love was coming from. So, yeah, this really solidified for me that God is real. And actually, soon after, I started to attend church at Trinity. And yeah, this was such a healing experience for me, because I had often felt like really out of place and questioned my belonging in the world, as I experienced a lot of racism and bullying as a child. but that experience really helped me to realize that I've been placed on this earth for a reason, and that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, no matter what society tries to make me believe or tries to make me believe. And that's one thing I wanted to really reiterate to all the children as well, that no matter what happens to you, or if people are not nice to you, or they don't like your glasses, or they make mean comments, that God is the creator of the universe. He created the moon and the earth and the stars and all the beautiful things that you see, and he created you for a purpose. So always remember that. And yeah, I still need to ensure that I declare the word and God's truth over myself daily. And of course, it hasn't been without its challenges, but since following Jesus, my life has truly become beautiful. And, you know, as it says in Psalm 16:6, that the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. And also, like it says in John 15:6, that I have not, this is the King James Version, so ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I had an experience with feeling the love of God and his overwhelming love for me. And after that, that's when I made the decision to follow Jesus.